You ready? Okay, we are back for another week of a work in regress with Chris and Rory. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to find my mouse and I fucking lost it.
We've had a few technical issues.
Yeah, we've had some technical issues, and we just had a really nice opening where we just talked about our area and stuff like that, so I won't get into it, unfortunately, but we can maybe we'll talk about it another time. So this week we're talking about making friends in our 30s, and I know that you've talked about it a lot in the past, right? And we've had some conversations around it, and you know, I think I just kind of want to ask, why is it that you wanted to talk about it? Because I know for me, right, I think I've often thought about making friends and what it means to be like that in your 30s, and I feel like as I've gotten older, I'm much more choosy about who I have as my friends and who I don't. And oftentimes I think it's because it's like I reflect on what I was like when I was younger in my 20s. Like I was a bit more desperate for friends and I was a bit more needy and kind of probably was, I don't know, I don't know if I was a big friend, but yeah, I don't know.
Not something you want on your CV, is it?
No, definitely not. Yeah. Billy No Mates, no thanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, why is it that you want to talk about like friends in your 30s?
Because like you said, I find the concept of like when... For me personally, anyway, like, I went to school, I was friends with the people in my class and who I played football with. I went to uni, I was friends with the people in my class and who I played football with. And actually, you get to sort of this stage where you're in your... And I think we have to carry out this by saying, I'm not a person who has new friends. Like, all of my mates have been my mates for ages. Like,
you do have newish friends, I guess.
My newest friends are Danny and Mark, who I know through you, and they've been my mates for... probably 8 years now.
And that's what I'd say is probably now, at least, probably for you both, a core friendship group.
A core friend.
Four lads, four
100%.
Boys.
And then I've got probably another four or five mates who have been my mates for like 10 years plus, 10, yeah. 15 years plus. And I just find the concept of there's just this feeling that when you get older, your friends in your 30s are actually your friends for life. Like, they feel like lifelong friends, as opposed to when you're in your, like, early 20s, you're friends with whoever's, like, right in front of you, because you just hang around with the people that like doing the same things as you now.
Yeah.
So, if you like playing football, you hang around with other people that like playing football. If you like going out and doing loads of drugs every weekend, you hang around with other people that are like-minded. If you like chasing girls... you hang around with other people that like to chase girls. And those friendships aren't... like, you know, as soon as the thing that you both enjoy doing together either goes or changes, you then move on to another group of friends or you start hanging around with other people. That's how it was for me anyway. Whereas now the concept I've always found it interesting how people, like, even like you, like, you've always got new mates.
Yeah.
And I just find the concept of it really interesting, because I know a lot of people, especially somewhere like London, which is, I feel like I know it's probably a lot less. I feel like 90% of people in London, like, they come here and then they leave after a few years. Like, it's not somewhere people stay.
No, even the people that are from London don't stay anymore.
Exactly. So I just find, like, I've witnessed it with my missus. When she came over here, she didn't know anybody and she found it really hard. She's got great friends now, but she found it really hard at first to make friends, because it's such a big and intimidating city and such a weird concept. Like, even when you go out, you must go out for a drink in London. I've done it with you before, and you look at people like groups and you think, that's definitely a work group, they don't fit together.
Yeah, like, I guess so, but some people have like their friendship groups within work, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but I think that's weird.
Yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
Because people
that can't make friends.
Like, people whose social lives revolve around work, what happens when you leave?
Well, they leave the work?
Yeah.
Well, they don't, isn't it?
No, but they must do, because people don't stay in jobs for, like, 10, 15 years. Like, for example...
Yeah, they do.
Well, not a lot of people.
There are definitely a good... Well, I mean, it depends on where, but yeah, I mean, it depends, really. And then, like, but those people then will probably transplant their friends from... one work group to another. Do you know what I'm saying?
Or do you not think that they'll go and just make, they'll go and just start breading everyone at their new work?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So those people get left behind. Like, one of the things I think about with friends, I've said it before, is that because I like people, I like people a lot. And I almost, especially people that I really like, I mourn the loss of every friend that I've left or don't spend time with. I think about people that I used to go on holiday with, that I had a great time, that I met there, and it'd be like, oh, you know, especially back then, you know, when you go on holiday and then you'd be like, oh, let's be mates. And
You meet on holiday?
Yeah. Or you leave a work group, and even now to a degree, but it's like, oh, and you try and you're like, oh, yeah, we'll hang out, we'll do this. And then maybe you might visit them one time in the city that they're from, and then over time, and you're just like, oh, that's a shame. Like, do you ever get like that?
Yeah.
Or you're happy to leave those scumbags behind?
No, I was actually thinking, like, with me, I'm terrible at following through plans. So, I've met a lot of people. Like,
I mean, I've had to train you, like, to be a good friend.
Massively.
Yeah.
Like, because the way I see it is, like, I had a group of mates at school. Like I've said, a group of mates at uni. A group of mates when I was living in Magaluf, because I lived in Magaluf for a summer.
Oh, did you?
I did. I don't like to talk about it.
Did you travel?
Yeah, I travel. A group of mates from certain jobs, and then you sort of, out of all of those different groups of people, I maybe talk to one person from each of those sort of eras. But actually, it's not always the person you expect. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
My mate Ben, for example. I know we're not.
I mean, I don't think we'd be friends still now.
Well, do you know what? It's a perfect example, because if somebody had said to me when did we first met? 2010? 2011? If someone had said to me in 2010...
Mid-20s, at least 10 years ago, I guess, maybe.
No, longer, because my first tour was when I met you, and that was either 20... That was 2010.
Yeah, all
so
right.
I first met you in 2010. And out of all of those people who are on that tour, if I only talked to two of them, and that's you and Rob.
Yeah.
And I saw Rob on Friday, and I'm with you today. If someone had said, right, you're going to be still mates with two of these people in 13 years' time, I probably wouldn't have guessed that it would be those two.
But I would imagine, like, especially because you played on the football team, I played rugby. We had a bit of not an overlap, but, like, we missed each other at uni because you started at a different time and we had, like, the same friends. But, you know, I used to get involved to a degree. You know, some people got more involved in certain things than others. And it's like, you were part of probably closer to the scumbag groups than I was. You know, I dibbled. I dipped my toe in. Yeah, I dabbled. I did a... You know, there's some pictures out there on Facebook. Don't look me up. But, like, you know, sports tour and all that sort of shit. Yeah, because I would imagine, like, for me, there's absolutely no way I would have thought there would be many people from uni, if any, that I would still have real close friendships with. But, like, because I think that we get on really well outside of the
uni bubble.
Just outside of any bubble, really. You know, my thing is about making friends with people on an individual personal level. It's why I like talking. You know, it's why I like wanted to do this and why I thought it'd be a good idea for you, because we've always just gotten, we've always had good laugh chatting. You know, we talk about weird stuff. You've got opinions, I've got opinions. You know, even though we know we don't know everything, we barely know a fucking thing, but we're more than happy to spout off what we feel we know. And I love that. Like, and that's where I think we connect as friends, and those are the types of things that kind of, I don't know, as you get older, maybe as you mature, those are the things you favour more, I don't know.
I feel like you were one of my first mates post-uni that I could do normal stuff with.
Yeah, I'm a regular guy.
By that, I mean, like, it didn't always have to be, you know, let's throw up in a dustbin and lob it off a balcony. That sort of, like,
do you know, even just like the old busting the balls and taking the piss, you know, you're like, when you're out with certain people and it's just like, can we just relax? Can we stop fucking taking the piss out of each other? Well, not everything's funny. Because it's not funny, it escalates real quick, so it starts to get a bit too extreme, and it's like, can we just have a pint?
That was, and that's the thing, in uni, you're mates with people that you can't just have a pint with.
No.
And everyone's like that. But then,
all of a sudden, you've got your top off and you're pissing in the shitting in the corner.
But that was my friendship groups for the first 25 years of my life. Which is why I find it so interesting, and I find the concept I've known everyone in my life for so long, and I know I can do whatever I want in front of everyone in my life. How do people go and create and cultivate these new friendship groups and these new kind of this new stuff that they do, and these this almost reinvent yourself.
See, but I don't have that problem though, because I'm like exactly what you talk about. I've got no problem making friends because I do stuff. You know, I've always done stuff. When the friends that I have, especially the ones that have lasted now, like, you know, the my yogi friends are a perfect example. You know, I went on a yoga trip about 5-6 years ago, and once or twice a year, I've got my small friends of yogis who are like 40-50-year-old women. We go for away for a weekend. We go for walks and stuff like that. Those are like for me friends for life. I have no problem making friends. My issue is saying no to people sometimes, or just trying to like kind of sustaining my own space for myself. You know.
Yes. Because, whereas my thing is actually quite the opposite. Like I like to talk to people when I'm out.
Yeah, fucking A, do you?
Yeah, you've seen me in full flow. I'll be in a pub chatting to four different people.
Oh.
But actually then, if any of them actually expressed an interest in being mates with me, I'll be the most standoff guy. Like, there's a story from
earlier. Well, no, you'd take their number, or you'd get them on Twitter.
I'm going to tell this story from earlier on this year. So, it was a Saturday, and my uncle was over from Dublin, and my brother-in-law was over as well, and the three of us went down to the old Shillelagh. Three or four beers. And the tables in there are quite...
They're very cosy.
Close together. This geezer sat on his own, probably mid-40s, Indian guy. Starts talking to my uncle, first of all. He's like, oh, I'm married to an Irish woman, that's why I like Guinness, blah, 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 blah. And they start chatting. Anyway, my uncle then goes up the bar. He's like, I say Indian, he's
not English.
He's English. He's English Indian. Oh. Like, he's English English. Like, but he just...
But where's he really from?
We have to scrap that. No,
I can say it. You can't.
Exactly. No, he's English, but he's English. Yeah, so yeah, we start chatting about...
Like, he's not white, Western, Caucasian.
Yeah, he's not Caucasian. So we start chatting. Nice guy. Like, we probably speak for half an hour. We're talking about the cricket, the rugby's on the telly, we're talking about that. I'm like, I'm not really into it, but my uncle is, blah, blah, blah. Chatting away. And he's like, oh, my mates are meeting me down here in a bit. And I was like, all right, fine. He's like, but before they come, let me take your number, we'll go for a pint. And I thought, he's probably just being friendly. You know, we've both now had 4 or 5 pints, but he's a bit older than me. So I was like, yeah, have my number. The next day, I'm out with you, Danny, Mark, and my brother-in-law, and we're sat in the pub in Mayfair, that Knightsbridge, that pub that Danny's mate is the manager.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one. We're sat in there, my phone rings, it's a number that I don't recognise. And I'm like, this. Hello? You're right, Rory, it's Kevin from yesterday. I'm like, who? He's like, Kevin from yesterday. And he goes, don't block my number.
He's like, he's done that before.
He's like, I'm just checking it's your right number. I'll give you a ring in a week and we'll sort out going for a pint. Honestly, I was shook.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, I blocked his number.
I'm sure.
But then is that a me problem or is that a him problem?
That's a you problem. But it depends, right? Because then there's like this level of openness that you can have in it. It's like, that's why some people struggle to make friends and others don't. Like, I have this general approach where I'm always willing to make effort if someone's willing to make effort with me. And so usually when friendships drop for me, it's because I, for whatever reason, now that effort is subjective because I am quite demanding as a friend, and you know that.
Yes.
but yet and still, if I feel like the balance isn't quite there yet, then, or that someone is just, you know, you've got them people that be like, oh, we should do something, and you never fucking do something, I've not really got no time for those people in a lot of ways. I try to give it a grace period, but generally no. If someone says, do you want to do something, now it depends where we pick those fuckers up. Like, I will probably at least give it one go. But it's probably why I don't talk to people in pubs like you do. I mean, the reason you hated it when we went to Budapest is because no one talks to you in public.
And yeah, that's a very... It must be... I've actually done some research. It's a very Eastern European thing. They're very...
So for me, there's no point in even starting talking to them because I've got no intention to be anyone's friend in that context.
Obviously, whereas I quite like to be the life and soul of the party and then just leave and never speak to anyone
again. Yeah, but then the problem is that you'd be like, oh, yeah, take my number. Because you're talking about this Indian guy. I want to make this very clear, right? Because Laurie is a bit of a liar. because there's a strong chance that he asked for this bloke. He was like, oh, we should do something. That it didn't just turn out that way, right? Rory probably talked him up. Oh, yeah, I've got tickets to the Arsenal. Oh, yeah, I love this. I come here all the time. Do you know, I want to go to these pubs, but no one ever comes with me. And then he probably said, I'll come with you. I like a Guinness. That's why we're at the old Shillelagh. That is probably what happened, right? That's close to the truth.
But I would never have outright asked for his number. I might have planted seeds because I'm friendly.
Yes. Planted seeds, you probably would have said, we should do something sometime.
No, I don't think I went that far. But I think I probably went, oh, you know, it's hard to get people out these days, isn't it? Yeah, like, or something like that. And he was a nice guy, and I felt bad. But
yeah. Well, you fucking played him.
Yeah. There's the thing is with me is there's two sides to my brain. There's one side to my brain that goes, oh, I like people. I want to be everyone's friend. I want people to like me, like you said. And I genuinely find people interesting. But then there's this other side that's like, well, I've got my 7 or 8 mates in my life who I see semi-regularly. Some I see twice a year, some I see every week. But they're my core friendship groups. Why do I want to risk ruining it, or not even ruining it, but why do I need to bring anyone else in?
But you don't need to bring them in.
No, I guess you don't. And I guess that attitude is why I ended up with a random 45-year-old geezer ringing me.
Yeah, I mean, that will you're just dead gorgeous. But
well, yeah, no, I don't think he was. He had a wife, so he weren't that way. He weren't that way.
Hey, right? That didn't stop Phillip Schofield.
That's very true. But yeah, even like, I'll give you an example of my brother-in-law, Alex. He's just moved to Austin about 3 years ago, right? New city, didn't know anybody. So he's met a few people through work.
Dropping everything.
And he's met a few people through work. He likes to mess around with cars, so he's met a few people through that. But do you think he will ever meet lifelong friends? And Americans move around a lot. They move from city to city.
They move from country to country.
Do you think that there's more of a chance of him making lifelong friends now that he's like our age? He's like 34.
But that's what I find so interesting, because I think you are kind of, you're very sceptical of anyone meeting anyone worth it in their 30s, right? Because I feel like recently I made, Amelia, my old neighbour, is a perfect example. And I feel like you find that whole thing quite interesting. I mean, even at one point you were like, oh, is he going to start hanging out with us now? And I'm like, no.
Because I really like him. I find him really interesting.
For sure. So, and for me, right, he is, it takes a lot for me to say someone's my friend. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you've got loads of friends. And in my mind, I know where people are at. But when you become my people, that's an entirely different thing. And that's something that's developed over time. Because that's when I make the extra effort, you know, and that's when you start to put more into it, and then you get more out of it. He is someone that I've met in my 30s and has easily, quickly become one of my best friends. And I can't wait to just, you know, hang out more for the rest of our lives. There are just less people that I can see that happening with. Recently, I had a friend who's just gone travelling, and we didn't have Nathan, and we didn't have much time spending with each other. And I was like, I just said to him one night, I was like, "Oh man, I'm kind of gutted you're going." Yeah, he's like, "Really?" I was like, "We're pals now."
He's a funny geezer,
exactly
as well.
Exactly.
That's why I find this so. This is why I wanted to have this conversation with you as opposed to anybody else, because like you've just named two people there, right? Who I've met through you, and I like both of them. Very different characters. But I find them interesting. Like, even we went to your comedy gig about 2-3 weeks ago, whenever it was, and me and Emilio were two of the first ones there. We sat outside having a pint, started talking about politics.
Yeah.
And when it was actually time
you're
for
very the right ring on.
When it was time for the comedy to start and we had to go inside, I was like, oh fuck, I was really enjoying that conversation. And then like the same thing with Nathan, I met him for the first time. But this is what I mean about you. You're always pulling these new people out of places. For me, the concept of making
got an eye for talent.
For me, making friends with one of my neighbours is a completely foreign concept.
Like, yeah, but that's your neighbour.
Like, Emilio was your neighbour. That's how you met him.
Yeah.
He was your neighbour, and you decided, I like this geezer, I'm going to be making
friends. No, that's not even what happened. I mean, he was very persistent in ways he didn't want to hang out. He was like, the guy that was like, as soon as me and my ex moved in, right, he's like, oh, let's exchange numbers, let's chat. And then we were hanging out, and then the pandemic hit, so then we spent a lot of time with each other, because he was right next door.
He was next door.
Yeah, and I didn't give a fuck. hanging out with people. And but then
you were breaking lockdown.
Man, fuck that shit, man. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Cancel me. But just through that, like, and because I just find him incredibly, like you say, interesting, good to hang around with. People that, like, you know, I guess as I'm getting older, I don't really want to drink as much. I don't want to go out and party and stuff like that. I'm delving more into the side, the conversational kind of relationships. And because he's very different. I mean, we've even talked about, like, him coming to a potential stag do if I ever get married kind of thing. And he's
I cannot imagine him on a stag.
And he can't either. Do you know what I mean? And the rule is, look, I said to him, like, I'd want you to come, but you can do whatever you like. You can come and join. You can wander off. You have no obligations to any of the festivities that are going to happen. Because he won't. He might want to sit there and watch, and maybe he'll have a few drinks and that. But, you know, he's just a lifelong friend, for instance, right? But, I mean, for you then, do you find it... I have my thoughts on it, but I'll hear from you first. Like, do you find it hard making friends in your 30s? Or is it just, you just don't want to?
I think... I almost feel like there's a... So I'll just give you, for people listening, not for you, but I've got us four, the group of four that knock about together, and then I've got a group of five.
Some people's feelings about to get hurt.
No, I've got a group of five mates from uni, who, like, we were at my mate's wedding about 3 weeks ago. We have a WhatsApp group that we speak every day, or every week.
Yeah,
and we probably meet up three times a year on a good year, twice a year on a bad year, and it's usually a wedding or some sort of go out for a Christmas drink or something like that. But they're another group, and then I have my pal Charlie, who I've been mates with since Magaluf, and that's my core group of friends. I almost feel like, you know, I've said the same with sports. I said you can only follow three sports and be knowledgeable about three sports. So for me, it's football, cricket, NFL. I'm pretty knowledgeable on all three of them. Obviously, cricket, I've played a little bit as a kid. NFL, I've never played. Football, I've played all my life. But in terms of watching, you can only be an expert in terms of knowledge and hold your own on three sports at once. Because to follow another one and have a job and have friendships and everything is too difficult. I almost feel the same with friends in that way. I feel like I've got my group of, I just named 11 people there. I've got my 11 mates, and I feel like I'm a good friend to all of those 11 people. I feel like all of those 11 people get from me exactly what they need from me in terms of a friendship.
Well,
they know that. They know.
I might have some questions.
They know that they could pick up the phone at 2 in the morning and say, "Rory, my car's broke down. I'm on the edge of the M25. Can you come and get me?" And I'll come and get them. Having any more than that, I guess what has happened is, as I've got older, I've actually cut down on acquaintances. And that's why I find people that have lots and lots of... Like, my niece had a birthday party. She's a year younger than me. She had a birthday party about, I don't know, it was hot. A month ago?
A month and a half.
You came for the morning.
Yeah, a month and a half, two months.
We went to some gaff in Hackney that played house music. Not really
somewhere, somewhere we are far too old Fuck me, we'll be too old for that place. And they were too, by the way.
Somewhere shit. People wear flowery shirts and nod their heads but don't properly dance. Like that sort of place.
Yeah, you're like, they haven't had a drink in their hand for 4 hours, but my goodness, they are off their face.
Yeah. So we went there.
Where's so and so? They've gone to the toilet. That was like fucking half an hour ago.
Let me tell you, there was like, in the evening, by like sort of 11, there was like 30 of us. Like 30 people. I was like, how are you? It was a bit like, and the same thing, I got invited to a stag, I couldn't go. It was about a year and a half ago, mate I played football with, I get invited to a stag, 45 people on this stag. I get that some people do have that many mates. I'm not knocking anybody like who has 40 mates or whatever, but if I had a stag do, 10. You only need 10. There's 11 people on a football team.
Yeah.
11 people. Yeah. And I unlike you, I'd only invite people who'd want to go. So like, my older brother will be more than welcome on my stag do. But I know that 4 days drinking in like Prague, he'd rather be walking around in museums. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's his personality. So, yeah, my stag do would be like 10 people.
Struggles to make friends.
Yeah, so that's why I...
But it's an interesting one, right? Because you're like, do you think you, if you could at any one time get that many people out for an event?
I'd like to think if I really needed to, I could get that many. Well, 40.
Yeah. Because I remember a birthday I had not too long ago, a few years ago. And you know when we went bowling? You didn't come out. You didn't come out for that one.
Where was I?
You didn't come out. No, you and Bella didn't come out. I remember that. You said, I might come out later, like 11, but you didn't.
We went to a gig.
Yes.
We went to watch Hon at Bristol, Brixton Academy. And by the time we finished, you was already too hammered.
Yeah, I was on my way home, yeah.
Because Seth was like, do you want to go and meet Chris? I was like, yeah. I phoned you. It was probably only 11:30, 12, and you was like,
I was done before midnight.
I was like, I ain't going to meet him. He's going to be fucked.
Yeah. But there was quite a few people out there, right? And, you know, my birthday's in November, sort of at the end of the year. And Emilio actually asked me, he said, you're probably going to have a lot of people come out for your birthday, right? Because he asked me if I was doing anything. I was like, why? And he goes, oh, because, you know, now you've got all these people in comedy and stuff like that. And I reckon if I were to have a birthday party, I could get a lot of comics out. But no offence, but like, for me, there's a distinct difference. It's like,
why, there is.
On my actual birthday now, I'm going to have dinner with my girlfriend. You know, before it would be like, oh, what would the boys do? But
You're not going to do anything for your
the levels have changed,
boys.
Right? Hey?
You're not going to do anything with the boys.
Well, this is the thing, right? Is that, well, yeah, because I would do something on the weekend, but it wouldn't be with 50 people that I can invite because I can invite them. Maybe if in my 20s, I'd be like, oh, you know, let's book an area in a club. And let's get the booth. How many people's coming? Put a deposit of £3. Can everyone send me 10?
Yeah.
You know, like, you try and get out as many people as you want.
Bottle of Grey Goose, £20 in each.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Pass it around for pictures.
But it's just not kind of what I want. It's not where I'm at. Now, I mean, I'm even at the point where I'm like, do I even want to do something with the boys?
Yeah, and that's normal. The only reason I did something with the boys this year for my birthday is through peer pressure.
That's like, what happens. Everyone's going
to
ask.
As in, not that I didn't want to. I had a great day. But
just long making the effort.
But planning. Yeah, I mean, I think there was...
What did we do again?
We went to brunch in Shoreditch.
Oh, yeah. I went early, didn't I?
And then, yeah. But there was... I'd say there was probably 10 people. There was probably six lads. And then girlfriends.
Yeah, more than that, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably 10, 12 people.
No, there was 20 people at brunch. It was like that.
Yeah, it was a big, long table. Yeah, so, yeah, but that was like, including girlfriends and stuff like that. Yeah. So, could I get that many people out? Yes, I could. But, for example, like you say, like you must know 100 comics.
Maybe, it seems like that.
But out of those 100, you've probably got 4 or 5 that you would consider friends. The rest of them are people you know, who you might like and really get on with. But this is what I mean. To cultivate more than... 10 friendships is difficult.
Well, it's not difficult. I just...
It's time-consuming.
Yeah, it's not difficult. It's just, can I be honest? Can I put the effort in? Because, again, like, the type of person I am is that I do invest a lot of myself in the things I care about. So for me to get to the point now... You know, when I was younger, I'd care too much about too many things, and you put yourself out there so much that you end up just giving away too much of yourself. Whereas now, as I've gotten older... I just, as much as I want to, sometimes I'm like, man, maybe I've been a bit harsh. Maybe I should reach out or... Because I know the negotiations I've made in my mind, but no one else knows them. You know, like, yeah. It's been interesting doing this comedy thing because there's been a lot of people that have been telling me that they'd come out to see my gigs.
And they would, or that they have.
But they would. There have been more people that have told me they would come out to a gig and haven't, who are apparent friends or people that I do know and have a good time with. Than people that have actually come out. And then there'll be a couple of people that you'd be surprised. Be like, oh, they could be a friend because they've actually made the effort.
Yeah, I mean, you're one of my best friends, so I don't really have a choice.
Well, no, I didn't give you a choice.
Like, it's like, I do know what you're saying. Like, if you, like, you've probably learnt a lot about people and how much time they're willing to give up.
Oh, yeah.
Based
yeah.
on the last... sort of 2 years of you doing
comedy. I mean, I think I kind of knew, but it's just reaffirmed a lot of those ideas where it's like, the only hard thing is competing against it and being like, I just want to say, you're not going to come. Just stop saying it. Yeah, but yeah, it's over a year now.
If
over a year and a half.
If someone ain't come yet.
Yeah.
Because bear in mind, I have the furthest to travel out of anyone. And yeah. I've probably been to 15.
Well, it's funny because someone, a comic friend of mine was like, he doesn't put out his dates on Instagram. And he's like, why would I put my dates on? And I'm like, I know, it's just, so many people are like, oh, when are you performing? So that's the only place I can really put it there. But now I've even stopped doing that because I just can't be asked anymore. And yeah. I'm doing less springers. I'm doing less like...
And you've got your own night now as well.
Yeah, and I'm doing things like that. So I know you're the plug king right now. You're just pumping it.
Yeah, I'm pumping. Yeah. I'm plugging.
Come out to the OM.
Come out to the OM. It's a great night.
Do you know what? Let's say it now. The next one, October 15th, is going to be a quality night. I can't believe it, actually. But
well, we know. We're on the 3rd. Yeah, so, yeah. North 19 Pub.
Yeah, make sure I get this pod out before then.
North 19 Pub, nearest train station, Finsbury Park, or Archway. 15th of October, you're saying it's going to be a really strong night.
Oh, it's
and everyone, I've been to 2 out of the 3. Or have there been 4 or 3?
There's been 4.
I've been to 2 out of the...
Yeah.
2 out of 4 or 3?
Yeah,
out 2. 2 out of 4. I have a winter recess while the NFL's on. But then I'll be at everyone when the NFL's on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been to 2 out of 4 and they've both been excellent.
They've been alright.
But So I didn't actually get around to your question. I don't think I find it hard to make friends.
Don't put any effort in because you don't go out, you don't do stuff, you don't. The reason I meet a lot of people is because I do stuff. Now, why I do stuff, you know, is what it is. I'm not even sure why to a degree. I guess I do really like being around people. I recognize it's better me being out than staying in because I could always stay in and do nothing and get fat and lazy and shit. But I go out, and then one of the other things is that people tend to. That sounds arrogant, but people tend to like me.
Yeah.
So then it's just a case for me where it's like, okay, I can be a bit more picky and choosy without sounding too callous with who I allow myself to connect with more, because now more than ever, like, time isn't as much available, you know, or effort, or can you invest that amount of time in people that probably aren't worth your time? I mean, as I'm getting older, the more times I'm on a night out or doing something, I'm like, ah, God, this person's just bare annoying, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was younger, I was a bit more open to a degree, you know. Whereas I'm still happy to meet people, just like random people, like just chatting, like weirdos and different people more so.
Yeah, see, whereas I've got, because when you say like I don't do anything, I know what you mean, because I don't take up new hobbies or anything, but I had so much of my youth and of my teens and of my 20s of doing stuff.
Yeah, I did.
That I like last weekend, man, Friday night, I went for a pint with, Charlie was in a pub in Hyams Park, which is not far from me, and Rob Murphy wanted to go for a beer, so I went for one beer.
I'm naming bear people.
I feel like in this episode, so we actually made an agreement not to name people in general on this podcast, but I feel like because we're talking about friendships in specific,
yeah,
I feel like we have to name and shame. Yeah, Rob Murphy can't get it. He won't listen anyway. We're 32 minutes in. He ain't got the sort of the stamina to listen to anything for more than like I'd say about 45 seconds.
No.
But anyway, two friends. I went for a pint, and then I was driving. So I then drove home, and then the rest of the weekend, I just chilled. I watched the NFL on Friday. On Sunday. I took the dog for a long walk on Saturday. I've got into cooking since lockdown, so I made a really nice dinner. And I felt, by the time Monday came around, I felt so refreshed. Whereas if I'd have gone on two different nights out, as I have done, like the weekend of my mate's wedding, I went to my mate's wedding on a Friday night, got hammered, came home, napped throughout the day, and then it was Mark's birthday on the Saturday, and we went to Mark's house. I was fucked for that whole week afterwards because I had 2 weeks, 2 days in a row, and then I think the weekend after that I had something else, and I think the weekend before that I had another mate's birthday.
I was forcing down.
It must have taken me half an hour, 45 minutes to finish one bottle of beer. I was forcing it down, but it's the time, and it's not the night out that the time takes. It's the week. It's the recovery.
Yeah.
Like my Sunday's a write off if that happens. My Monday, I'm not feeling great, and by Tuesday, like I'm having to concentrate on stuff in work, and I still feel like I'm playing catch up.
Mm.
Even with like your gigs at the OM, like
yeah, it's a tough day Monday.
It is Monday, you know, like because you go like, oh, I'm just gonna have a couple, but I think it was the second one. I think I was like,
yesterday I felt what?
I've just,
like 3 beers.
Yeah, well, I was like, I've had a couple, and then it finishes, and I'm like, all right, I'll have a third, and then now I'm going to go, and then someone, and when I say someone, I mean Mark Williams, will go, we'll have one more. Do you want a beer? And I'll go, no, and then a pint of Guinness will just appear in front of me. And then before you know it, I've had 4 or 5 pints, yeah. And I'm having to get up at, like, whatever time the next morning to go to work. It's tough. So in that respect, I'd say I don't do things.
But that's where I think we make the unwritten negotiation with ourselves, being like, do you know what? I can't be asked to go out. Like, I could be, you know, because back in the day, like, it was easy to go out every weekend. And right now, because of, like, I'm doing this comedy and there's young people around me all the time. Like, I was in a competition yesterday for 35ers and overs. We're in a new category.
We're in a new category. Oh, wow. How did it go?
I mean, it was good. I got through, which was great. And I started out by saying, you know what? It's nice to be the young-looking one in the group again.
Yeah.
It reminds me of being in a care home. I guess it's just around, like, the effort that you're willing to put in based off of the trade-off of going out or just spending time with people.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Do you ever, like, miss or think about people from your past and be like, oh, you know, or that was a shame, or you've outgrown them?
I
do they have to name names here?
No, it's fine. So I've got a mate from school who we text every now and again, but he lives in Southend, and he's, like, got a missus and got a kid. And every, like, we'll go, like, weeks without texting each other, and then he'll text me something funny that he's seen from someone at school on Facebook. And I think, fucking hell, like, I miss knocking about with you, even though we've not seen each other on a weekly basis since we were, like, 18. So that's one. My mate Kyle, who moved to New Zealand, I ain't seen him now in 5 years. He moved in 2018, so I ain't seen him in 5 years. And something will sometimes happen, or he'll say something, and I'll go, fuck, it's actually shit that we don't go out as our little group anymore because you're not here no more. So... But I'm still in touch with those people. Yeah. In terms of, like,
you meet up, you just touch base.
The weird thing is, we went out for Kyle's, like, leaving do. We'd been in Camden during the day. Do you remember we went for Christmas drinks in Camden during the day at the Ice Wolf?
Yeah.
And my evening Christmas drinks with Kyle, because it was his last day in England. He left on, like, the 27th of December or something, were that night. So I turned up and I was already pissed because I'd been on the piss for 5 hours with you. I was already pissed up. And then the last time I see him was literally as he left to get his Uber. He was like, all right, my Uber's here.
Yeah, that's such a shit way to...
And he walked out of my flat, but he'd give it, like, oh, I'll be back in 6 months, don't worry. Or I'll be back in 8 months, don't worry.
Yeah.
As soon as I get a job, because that's what you do when you move to another country. People do it, don't they? They go, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to get a job, get myself sorted, get a few quid behind me, and then I'll come back.
Yeah.
But no one's ever got $3,000 to drop on a flight just like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And now it's been like 5 years, and I'm in a WhatsApp group with him still. I still speak to him. Like, me, him and Charlie are still in a WhatsApp group. And, like, we've said, like, we probably ain't going to see him now until someone dies. Like, or that's horrible, but...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, so, you never know.
The people that I miss are people that I'm still in contact with. Do I miss people I don't speak to anymore? Not as much, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not as much. Well, do you? Well, you've already said you do, actually, or was that on the first recording?
I mean, the one that really sticks out for me is when I went on this coach trip, like, around Europe, like, the late 20s. It was a Kentucky holiday, 10 days, and I went by myself with, like, no mates.
I remember you telling me that, and I thought that was insane.
Really?
Just explain what you did.
So I booked a coach trip around Europe. Kentucky's, like, this coach trip company that they have all these places around the world. And, it was a 10-day trip around Europe with a group of other travellers where I went by myself. We travelled around this coach to 7 different cities in 10 days or something like that.
Was it awkward when you... I'm assuming it's from Victoria.
It was from Euston.
So you rock up at Euston, bus garage, I work there.
Yeah.
Is it awkward?
No, because the day before we met up, like...
What?
In the place. So the day before the trip, the place... ask you to come over. They've got, like, this pub. They book a pub in Euston, and then they just talk through what the holiday's going to be like. They give you an itinerary.
So there's how many of you?
Maybe about 25, 30 people.
And do you remember the name of the pub?
Not really, but I know where it is if it, uh-huh. it was near this hotel. But anyway, that's besides the point. No, it weren't awkward. Like, I'm great.
So what, then you go home, by the way? You then go home?
Well, I did, because I lived here. But these people were from all over the world. So there was Aussies, there were some Americans, South Africans. So they travelled here to go off from London. But, you know, Euston's like a 15-minute bus ride for me.
Yeah, you can almost walk it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I went for this drink, and I went home. And they, because they all stayed out. And they were like, oh, stay out. And I was like, I think I was might have been 27, 28 at this point. And they were all much younger, in large part. And they all stayed out, and then...
What, you say you go home, get packed.
Got packed, you know, and then went and turned up at like 6 a.m. in the morning, mum drove me.
They're all hanging,
they're all like not into it, you know, and then we went to Amsterdam first stop, and then it was just, we were like a family. I cannot tell you how much like a family I felt like it was so close. And I remember distinctly when the trip ended, because it was 10 days, but it felt like, honestly, months. And we just lived with each other, we hung out. You just had to be friends. And it was made for someone like me. And I remember the last day when we come back to London, like, everyone's crying, right? And even I was getting quite emotional. And everyone was talking about how, you know, we'll still be in contact. We got tattoos because we were that close. And I just remember thinking, like, at this point, going towards my 30s and understanding how friends come and go, I remember thinking, like, I'm never going to see these people again.
But you did?
I did. I travelled and I went to America to see some people. I went to Australia to meet some of the friends. I made a lot of effort and initially, but, you know, you can only do that so much. But that's who I am. But those people, for me, like, even now, maybe it might be different when we meet up again in life, hopefully. But those are friends for life because of the experience that we had. But also, if they're ever... A few of them I do speak to on occasion. They might be every couple of years. But we'll still just say hello and check in. But there's also a lot of people on that coach trip I don't talk to anymore, which is quite sad. So, I don't know. It's just... It's like that. It's like you said earlier. You get these group of friends from particular points in your life, and then maybe one or two might hang. Most of the time, they won't. I moved my job... What, almost 6 months ago, and I really actually miss my colleagues, because they were I had more friends in that job than I did anywhere else, and I really, really did love them, and I've probably only seen a couple of them since, and it's only even been 6 months.
So yeah, the work ones
just dropped off like that.
The work one's a weird one, because I started a new job in January, and there's two people definitely there, like, that are potential friends, 100%. But you just don't know how it develops, do you?
So that's interesting, actually. Like, talk about that then more, like, around... Because you've just spoken around how you don't even really attempt, or maybe you don't get many friends to say, like, now you're in this new situation with new people. They're people that you're being like, do you know what? Like, because I always think, especially now, later on in life, it isn't like love at first sight. You know,
no.
Especially even with girlfriends and stuff like that, it's not always like
well,
instant.
I think the problem
with friends... I do think you have to spend a significant amount of time with them now before you realise, I can hang around with this person.
Well, so I think the problem with my work now is that we only go in one day a week other than an exam period. So you're not with each other every day. But, like, one of the lads, we get on every time, in fact, both of the guys that are around my age, one's a few years older, one's a few years younger, in very different ways, every time I see them, we have a laugh. And I've been out, the older one I went for a beer with end of the last assessment period. We went out for a beer and we just had about 8 pints, got hammered.
Yeah.
Went home, next morning we had to go in and we was like, and so I've been out for a beer with him a couple of times. The other one I've been out for a beer with once, and they are potential friends, but then you don't know how.
Let me vet them. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Early. One of them, I'll speak to you off camera, one of them I'm going to get to come on here because he's got a really interesting story.
Alright.
He's got a really interesting story. It'd be a great
bring him out to a gig.
I've literally invited him out to a gig. I've said, you need to come to a gig. And he's like, yeah, we'll see. And then when Seth came and met us at work once, he was like, yeah, he keeps telling me he's going to take me to a comedy gig, but he never follows through.
Yeah, that's
so what I'll do, I'll bring him to a gig. But yeah, he's a really sound guy, a potential friend. But it's just, like you said, you pick these people up from different stages in your life. And some of them stick and end up being really good friends.
But I can't, like, we just we just hang around, didn't we? We were just around each other for I never ever thought there was like a drive. It's weird, like, even with you, who, you know, respectfully can come across quite needy and like, you know, no, but like, yeah, oh, let's be mates, let's be mates, you know, like, because you do that with people, and then, when they actually try and follow through, you're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Right? But like with me and you, because I don't think I ever was like, oh, we just went on that holiday with the boys. We were chilling, hanging out. And then when we got back, it was like, oh, do you want to do something? And I even think like the first time we even hung out might have been in your flat, like just sitting. I swear to God. Like,
we hung out at my mum's before. We went out for Rob's babies. We went to the baby's head.
Right.
And we hung out at my mum's. Yeah. I think you was playing rugby around my area. Yeah, I'll come and get changed before at mine.
Yeah. And I met your mum and her family, and I was just doing what I do. And everyone's chatting, like, oh, he's
and
great.
Then it was, and then, yeah, yeah, I mean, that was probably, yeah, that was a long time ago now. But
then most people would think that would be quite weird of me, because I was just like, yeah, go on then. Because I'll just go. Like.
Yeah, but I think the difference is I think that we had so many mutual friends that it wasn't weird. Do you see what I'm saying? If you'd have been a random that I'd met on a night out, there's no way I'd have said, I'll come and get changed around mine.
That's the good fortune of it.
Yeah, because in my mind, well, he's mates with Dyer, he's mates with Rob, he's mates with this one, I've been on tour with him. There was no weirdness to it. Whereas if you were someone who I just met in a pub, there's no way I'd have said, I'll come around to where my mum lives.
But then what that allowed for was us to just
become
like
mates.
We're friends where we just hung out. Like, I always think you're quite different than Mark and Danny to me, because I met Mark when I was in secondary school, I met Danny in college, but with you was the start of people where I was like, I don't know, I guess with them I kind of hung out with, but I just remember just thinking like, we just naturally get on really, really well. I don't think we ever had an argument. I don't think we've ever had a really big disagreement.
No.
You frustrate me, but
I frustrate most people, so
but like, you don't piss me off, you've never made me angry, you've never offended me. In fact, like, we chat so much shit, do you know what I'm saying? Like, we could get as loose as we can get with each other.
Also, I think it helps how much I got on with Mark and Danny from when I first met them. Like,
that was always going to happen. I wouldn't have brought you in.
No, I know. But like Mark has become like the other week, for example, my uncle came over from Dublin. He's in his late 50s. We go for a beer. I say to Mark, I'll put it on the WhatsApp group. Me and my uncle are having a few pints if anyone wants to come out. Mark comes out.
Mark's very good with effort.
He's great with effort.
Never used to be.
It wasn't in my mind. It wasn't, oh, me and Chris's mate are going out. It was me and my mate are going out. Like, Mark has become Mark and Danny have become two of my best mates.
Yeah.
And even like, for example, next summer, if I get the tickets for the cricket, and Mark really wants to go, and you're doing something, me and Mark go to the cricket, and it wouldn't be. And I think that in order for some friendships to work, people have to come into a group effortlessly. For example, like, I met my mate Kyle, who went to New Zealand. I was actually mates with my mate Charlie. I met him in Magaluf on my first day in Magaluf. Right, I walk past him in the corridor of the block I'm living. But there's probably 50 flats in this block, right?
Mm.
99% Northerners. Charlie's from Hackney. I'm living in Epping. I'm wearing a Leighton Orient shirt, right? I walk past Charlie in the corridor. Him being from Hackney, bear in mind he's only seen Northerners for the last 3 weeks, has looked and gone, oh, go on, the oath. Like, because when you see a Leighton Orient shirt, it's the equivalent of Danny seeing a Barnet shirt in Thailand or something. And I went, oh, you're right, mate. Blah, blah, blah. We had a 2-minute conversation. Walked our separate ways, right? Didn't then see each other for 2-3 days. I went home with a girl, stayed over that night, went onto the balcony to smoke a cigarette, and he's sitting on the balcony next, the next door balcony. And I was like, oh, you're right, mate. And he's sitting there on his laptop. I'm smoking a cigarette, and we start talking about places we go out. We start, and from literally from that day onwards, we were mates. We're just mates all summer. And like you said about, when you went on that coach trip, a day felt like a week sort of thing. Magaluf was like that. Like, Magaluf almost felt like I was there for about a year. But actually, I was there from like the first week of May to the first week of September. Like, but while you're in it, it feels like you're there. Yeah. So it's like a Big Brother house.
It's because you're spending morning, noon and night, you know,
with the same group of people. But yeah, from that day onwards, like, I'd say probably from that day on the balcony to like, onwards, he became one of my best mates almost instantly. And I feel like not all friendships are like that, but I feel like that's when you have like a lifelong friend.
See, I think that happened with us in, first of all, if someone walked by me and was like, oh, there he goes, I like your top, I'd be like, oh, thanks, mate, and I'd walk right on. that is where we are different. Like, when people are like, oh, I like your top.
No, but
like,
it was a football.
Yeah, what's a dickhead? Are you like this guy, do you? Yeah, thanks, Fossa. You know what I mean?
No, it was relevant because it was a football shirt. It's not like someone going, I like your purple hoodie, mate.
No, but if I had an Arsenal, I've gone around with Arsenal tops, I'd be like, oh yeah.
It's not the same. Arsenal shirt ain't the same. Being an Arsenal fan, you'd be an Arsenal fan from Timbuktu.
Yeah.
If you're wearing an Orient shirt, you're from inside the A406.
Fair enough.
From around the A406, somewhere.
But I actually, in my mind, I always think our friendship, it's why I can never really think, I can't remember seeing you beforehand. It was Dusseldorf. Like, for me, we met on Dusseldorf, right? And I always remember your brother throwing up outside the hotel and straight away being like, that's what I remember where our friendship started. And then I felt like us two was just chatting and hanging out basically the entire weekend. You know, it was just me and you, and then the rest. And you
because
know,
we shared a room.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, I'm the best guy, and I'm down. Like, I'm a friend.
Yeah. We'll tell that story on another pod.
Yeah, but you say like, yeah, that's one of those guys for real. And I'm like, I ain't like the rest of the guys at uni. Do you know what I mean?
I think it was because by the end of that first day in Dusseldorf, everyone was falling about drunk. Yeah. And
that was a long day.
When I'm with my brother, I almost, because of how drunk he was, I was like, I have to take the...
Yeah.
I have to... And I remember that day, I think there was six of us away, and I think three different lads dipped at different times throughout the day. Yeah. First, it was Miles, and it was like literally having a disabled adult with you.
Yeah, it was rough.
Because he couldn't speak.
More like a grown baby.
A grown baby. Yeah. It was like having a grown baby.
Had diarrhea and vomit.
Yeah, for a good... Because he stayed out.
I mean, it was like 10 a.m, though. It was an early flight. Do you know what I mean? We literally landed, got to the hotel, and
I think he might have thrown up on the plane over there.
He must have snuck off and got some drinks.
We went for a pint and a curry the night before. All of us did. We went for like four beers and a curry the night before. We'll get back probably about one. Our flight's at four. Miles decides to stay up all night drinking. That was why he was so hammered. Yeah. Then later on in the day, in the afternoon, Rob dipped, and then the next morning, Chris Mack dipped.
Yeah.
And I think we were the only two people that were on a level for the whole time, and that we almost felt that like kinship through that.
Yeah.
So, this has been do you know what? I was a bit worried about this topic, but this has been an absolutely amazing chat. I don't know if anyone else is going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I've really, really enjoyed talking about it.
Right, let's wrap this up with our five aside. I didn't know if you just wanted to get, you was about to get all emotional, so I was just cutting you off because, you know, lads like that.
No. I don't get it.
So, five aside, today's five aside is, I guess for the first few, I should explain what five aside is. So
yeah, go ahead, explain.
We just rank our five best, our five favourite, five anything really. Couldn't be best, could be worst of anything. I thought, and I've thought about this idea for years, so I've had some names ready made already.
Mm-hmm.
But what is our top five, who would make our five group, fictional friendship group? So
yeah,
could be celebrity, could be, you know, well known from the past.
Yeah, it's your dream team of friends.
Maybe a character, player, whatever. But whatever you want
to
do.
So I've actually done it as my Vegas. I'm going away to Vegas with my friendship group, right? Because I couldn't just have generic friends, because some of these people we could never be friends with long term. But no, I'm going away to Vegas with my five best mates. Who are the five going to be?
See, for me, I've thought a bit more about who's got longevity, like who the dynamics of the group, who's going to last the test of time, who can I take to most situations, if not all.
All right. See, I've got one person here that's in their late 70s.
That's
so.
Up to you, man. I'll go first.
Go on, you go
because
first.
I've got my 1-1. It's the 1-1 every time. He's the main reason why I even started thinking about this years ago. Right, so I've probably been thinking about this for over a decade. The number one person on my list in my fictional friendship group is Michael Bublé.
What?
Michael Bublé, right, is the man. I would absolutely have him in my friendship group. He's fucking hilarious. He's cool. He seems funny. He can sing. So
you would never see him in December.
He will never take your girl. That is very important to me.
I reckon he would try and take your girl.
Nah, Michael Bublé, he's the coolest guy of all time. I love him. Michael Bublé's 1-1. I won't even... I'll stand by that.
Fair play. My number one, Elon Musk. Someone's got to bring the dough, right? He's financing this thing. The first thing is how we making this Vegas trip happen. Who's providing the gambling money? Who's providing the yachts?
So one of the main reasons why Rory can't make friends in his 30s is because he spends about 60% of his time on Twitter. So that is not a surprise to me.
At rduffy16, by the way, if you're thinking of following on Twitter, I'm a great follow. I'm a great follow.
No.
If you like
too much Corbyn,
if you like sport hot takes, well, Corbyn's gone. I don't tweet about Corbyn.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, right. Go on. Your number two.
My number two is Steph Curry.
Yeah, pretty. Although he seems to me like he wouldn't be good on a night out, Steph Curry.
He's a bit of a square. He's very, very God fearing. He talks about Jesus an awful lot.
Yeah.
But I think that he's again really funny guy. He's always laughing. Do you know what I mean? He's definitely got aggression to him. Yeah, it's just more like people are just like hanging around with having a good laugh.
I mean, hanging around with Steph Curry would be cool.
Oh, it'd be fucking awesome. Yeah.
My number two is Elton John.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realise you were gay. So.
No, he's just one of my heroes. Yeah. Like, he makes amazing music.
He's really funny.
Imagine the story he's got. Like, his life as being a celebrity goes back from pretty much the 70s. Oh. Also, he's a fellow, like, M25 North Londoner.
And he must know everyone.
Like, he knows everyone.
Everyone.
Like, he's from Watford as well. He's
not a Londoner then.
Well, no, but he's like M25 corridor.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Watford guy.
He's not
quite
London, though.
Nah, he's less London than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Watford's further out. But he's local. So, you know...
Yeah, that's a good shot. I like it.
You know, he's not... Elon Musk.
I mean, I'd be worried about, like, you know... No, I'm joking.
Nah. Elon Musk, if you needed him in emergency, he's probably in California.
Fuck no. Like,
he's probably in California.
But Elon Musk, yeah, because Elon Musk always promises things that he can't deliver. I mean, he was talking about making those mines up and underground...
The boring company.
Elon, he thought he was going to help those miners, and he fucking didn't.
I have to caveat this by saying
no one's on Mars yet.
Elon Musk would be the kind of guy that finances it, but every now and again you go, fucking give it a rest, Elon.
Chill out, mate.
Tell you what, just sign the checks.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
just sign the checks to Sharp.
He's going to be fucking horrible to hang out.
He's going to be signing the checks, mate.
You're going to be there, chatting to a girl, and he's going to be sitting there being like, "Who's your mate?"
Exactly.
I only bring him around because he's got money.
go on, your third.
You didn't do your second.
Yeah,
you
Elton John. Oh. Musk and Elton John are like two.
My third guy, it's probably getting a bit too themey, but it does change up. It's Justin Timberlake.
Good shout. I've got my next two are both Justin Timberlake ish type characters. Yeah. You'll know when I say them.
Yeah.
Great shout.
JT. Yeah. I mean, he is the man.
Talented musician. Oh. Good looking. Oh. Can play the guitar.
Absolutely.
As a bit of dough.
Yeah.
You're getting no pushback.
Seems to be on the level as well. Have a good laugh. Like, doesn't take himself too seriously. Jessica Biel is probably my number one.
Oh, she's up there.
She's up there. Yeah.
Lamborghini of a woman.
Oh, my goodness.
Outrageous. I can't fault it.
Yeah.
My number three. Very current. He's in the news a lot the last couple of weeks.
Oh, Russell Brand.
No. I'm not trying to get cancelled. Come on now.
No.
Come on now. Travis Kelce. Mr. Travis Kelce. Fucking cool guy.
For those that don't know, NFL...
he's Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Kansas Chiefs tight end. Because this is an English podcast.
Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs tight end. He's dating Taylor Swift. He's 6'5", good looking.
I'm really surprised you said that. He's a little bit too, like...
American?
You
chose Timberlake.
A bit he's gummy.
Gummy?
Yeah. No, Timberlake, man. But sexy back. Come on, man.
Yeah, but they're both very...
Justin Timberlake's pretty much black, all right? Travis Kelce wants to be black.
Have you seen Travis Kelce's last three girlfriends?
Of course, it's Travis Kelce.
Right. His last three girlfriends...
Black.
Smoking hot black women.
Of course.
And he's now gone for Taylor Swift. Yeah. It doesn't...
Well, he's going back home.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
He's going
like,
back to what
if
he
your
is.
Type, if your type is like... Is like Rihanna, Beyonce, like that look. Taylor Swift is like as far from that.
Well, he was projecting. He was peacocking to present a picture of what he wants people to believe him to be, and now he's going back to what he actually is.
No, I'm not having it that you can. I understand your types can be different, but one of them, he wasn't being true to himself, because there's no way.
That's what I'm saying.
What one is his true self?
Well, Taylor Swift.
I'm going to put it out there, and I hope we haven't got any Swifties listening.
Apparently, but they're vicious.
Out of the four, they are vicious. Oh, although we might go viral and get some subs out of it.
Yeah.
But like Taylor Swift, out of the three exes, including her, Taylor Swift is easily not the most attractive. That's all I'm going to say.
That's you, but you're part of the culture. I know what you like.
I am part of the culture.
You're part of the culture.
I mean, you only got to look at my missus.
I'm part of the culture.
So Travis is my first. Travis would be great fun.
It would be. Have you seen his podcast? He's just a bit too, like, him and his brother, a bit too fake.
See, I like his brother as well, though. His brother's
They're cool. They're as close to, like, him, Patrick Mahomes, they're as close to kind of, all right, yeah, but I can imagine they're just a bit too, you couldn't get an honest opinion out of them. That'd be my
concern. maybe. But that'd I reckon you might get more once they retire.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of what they do... It's like protecting their brand.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to protect my brand, right?
Yeah, exactly.
excuse me. This next one, actually, is quite new. It's Jamie Carragher.
What?
I think Jamie Carragher is like... He's just... It's probably like the friends we're talking about, right? I've been watching him for years. Yeah, didn't really think much of him. He's constantly there, and I'm like...
Oh, my neck.
There's not one... And it was between him and Roy Keane, really, because it's like, I think Roy Keane's the obvious answer. Gary Neville, I used to really, really like, and I can't stand him anymore, to a degree.
Yeah, I think Gary Neville's become a bit self-righteous, yeah. I think.
But, anyone on Sky Sports is rough to me in a lot of ways. Jamie Carragher, every time he's on, I can watch him. I can watch him talk about football.
He's very knowledgeable about football.
People... I was just watching Frank Lampard and Jamie Carragher breaking down football in Monday Night Football. It's class. Right, but then when he wants to go and have a laugh, he's hilarious. Like, he's a really good lad to have around. Like, Gary Neville's always the punchbag, so he's not, you know,
yeah.
He's part of the group, but only there because, you know, he's very attentive and he's productive and he puts a lot of effort.
It'd be good if it all kicked off.
Jamie
as well.
Carragher's there because he's one of the lads, but he don't put no effort in.
But he'd be good if it all kicked off as well.
And
Carragher,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
Part of the reason I've got Kelsey as well. He's like 6'6".
I'll fucking bang up Kelsey. The guy avoids tackles.
No, if the fight ended within 30 seconds, yeah, but there's no way from a fitness perspective you're hanging for longer than
that. We don't need that, Rory. Come on now.
All right, my number four.
Fucking Usain Bolt out here.
My number four.
Look at Mo over here sitting there.
My number four, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
He's very Justin Timberlake. Yeah, he's just cool. Yeah. He's just a cool guy. Yeah,
sunshine.
He'd turn up, he'd be dressed well, he'd smell great. You know, he'd... Like... If you're out and Ryan Gosling's there, people are going to want to come and talk to you. Because it's Ryan fucking Gosling. He's just a fucking cool guy. And he's not too American because he's actually Canadian. So.
And I don't think he'd be the type of arsehole that would like take girls away from you all the time.
No. But he's also... He narrowly edged out Ryan Reynolds.
The only problem I have with Ryan Gosling is that I just don't think he talks enough.
Maybe. But that's his whole cool persona, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not about being cool, like... Michael Bublé is my 1-1.
Go on, who's your number five?
To finish off the list, you talk about it'd be alright if things kick off. The last one on my list is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh my god. What's he bring? What do you know about his personality? What's he bringing?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What's he bringing?
What, the beer chugging, fucking badass.
Redneck.
Huh?
Redneck.
Redneck. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He's the hard one of the group. He's the one that can down a beer in like 2 seconds. He can absolutely throw down when he needs to, but he can absolutely have a laugh. Do you know what I mean? As well, like he was never like super ripped to shit because he likes a beer and he can eat and stuff.
Yeah.
How could you not want to hang out with Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah, you've got a point.
The only issue I would have with Stone Cold Steve Austin is that there's a strong chance that I won't be the leader of the group.
Hang on, Justin Timberlake's in there.
Nah.
He's the leader of the group.
I'm the leader of the group.
Do you know what? Listeners, I will say there are other people in the group, in our group, in real life group, that will probably
consider themselves to be the leader of the group.
I'm sure, but they're not. We all know who the one is.
Just let him have his wins. My last one, Federer. He's just my favourite person. So I couldn't not have him in.
Really? I feel like that you're saying he's basically like your number one athlete.
Yeah, he is, I think.
Really? Over any footballer? Like?
Well, yeah, because the thing with Federer is like he's always just carried himself with like with so much class and so much dignity, and has been someone to most footballers, for example, have at least one, sometimes more, scum. Like a lot of people could look up to Maradona, but he's a fucking cocaine snorting scumbag.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, could you take Federer out of Romford?
Yeah, because people would just love him. Can you imagine how good he'd look?
Not.
He could smell great as he'd smell great as well.
Oh my God, you are absolutely crazy.
All right, I'll change it then.
It's up to you. You keep it.
Well, my other one was Jonah Hill.
Take Federer. Oh my God, Jonah Hill. Behave yourself.
Wow, Jonah Hill's sound, man. He's been in, you know, he's a serious actor.
He's a great actor.
Unbelievable actor.
I thought that very early on. He's a wonderful actor.
I didn't know. After
weird person.
After Superbad.
Wonderful actor, weird person.
No, I think he'd be alright. I quite like him.
You've got really bad taste in friends. And I should have known this, really. I should have known your list was going to be shit.
No.
Absolutely terrible. Terrible.
We now, next week, though, we have to do the five worst people to be in a friendship group.
Okay.
Celebrities.
It can't get too weird. It can't be like, oh, Jeffrey Epstein, you know, fucking Charles Manson. You know, it's got to be...
Yeah, it can't be... Yeah, no, it's got to be people that are alive.
Yeah.
And it's got to be people that...
A bit tongue-in-cheek, maybe.
Yeah, like I'd say Madison's making it into mine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That sort of vibe. I'm not talking Ian Huntley.
I mean, I wouldn't say it, but like, I wouldn't, you know, Piers Morgan would be an easy.
Oh, you know, that'd be a great.
It'd be easy.
Great inclusion.
Yeah.
Right, I'll take Madders, you take Morgan. We're not speaking anymore about
it. I wouldn't say he's on my worst list of all time.
How could he not be? Cristiano Ronaldo would be a nightmare. I'm just brainstorming now. Imagine being mates with Ronaldo.
Oh, no.
You lot, when we go away, moan at how long I take in the bathroom. Imagine that prick waxing his fucking eyebrows before every night out.
The thing about him as well is that, like, I also think that if a girl came up and tried to talk to him, he'd be really weird.
Oh, he'd be creepy.
Yeah.
He'd be like, anyone.
Oh. And he's supposed to be the one that's supposed to get the girls for us.
Yeah, no, he'd be a creep. Yeah. He'd be a creep.
Yeah.
All right.
No. All right. Yeah, good stuff. We will see you in a couple weeks. Did we do something? I can't remember if we used to do something at the end.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Oh, like and subscribe. Please come out to the OM Comedy Club. It's fortnightly at the OM Comedy Club.
And if you are still listening, if you've made it this far, if you've made it an hour and 7 minutes in.
I guarantee you, at one point, there'll be a day when someone will listen to one of our podcasts from start to finish. And when that person does, I want you to comment.
Yeah, comment on the videos.
And we will invite you down to be a guest on this show.
Yeah. What's the code word?
They've just got to write. Why the fuck are you listening to this?
What's the code word they've got to write in the comments to get on the show?
Your mum. All right, see you later.
All right, bye.